Session number 13042, reel 3.
Mr. Sobolevsky, reel 3.
Anyway, I don't remember exactly the name of that camp, but as I said previously, some people try to stay, not to go into further into Russia. And what happened? They held us outside. They brought the dogs, which could smell exactly where people were under the floor, and they were killing them under the floor. They were shooting. So evidently they killed them.
Who was doing it?
The convoy. You know, that was the security, or called it at that time, it was called NKVD.
The guards.
Guards. They were doing that. anyway, they start marching again. No food, no water. And in certain place, we came. Actually, the German were advancing, and they were just German machine guns reaching us. Never mind the big guns or something like that, but the machine guns. So I thought that would be the end, but what actually happened, they brought some Russian troops to the front, and they put us on those trucks and got us over the big city, Ternopil, to the other side of Ternopil, and then we march again. But otherwise, I don't know what would happen, because I don't think they would let Germans to take us. They would kill. That's what happened with some other places.
Did you see those Soviet troops?
Soviet troops, yes. When they brought Soviet troops to the front and then put us on the same trucks to go back through the city.
What impression did the troops make on you?
they were demoralized just the same. I remember one, turned his hat and said, "Oh, we are going forward."
Turned his hat back to front.
The front, he said, "We are going forward." You see, I remember that. You see, they were hungry just the same. They had no equipment equal to German. So they brought us to, and we had to march another, I don't know how long, but you see, we had to march to place which I was first captured, to Volochysk. We had to march. That was around about 80 kilometers. And they just put us on the, it was piece of land out on some lake, I don't know what it was, but lake. And unfortunately, weather was really against us. During the day, it was quite warm, and during the night, it was raining. And you see, you're just standing. How long could you stay? Could you stand? You know, you're just sitting, you're laying down in that mud and all that. And for 2 days, we were laying in that, then they put us on the train and brought us to a place well known as well. That was Starobielsk. Now, Starobielsk, it was another camp which was executed before us, before we came down there. They all were executed from Starobielsk. But down there, we were waiting until the agreement was reached between our General Sikorsky and Maisky here in London. When we were released, and you wouldn't believe that the same guards, only they didn't guard us, only they were helping us to get to the camp which was Polish army organized. The same guards who killed our friends a few days ago, they brought us into the camp where we had to serve in the Polish army.
So on this form you've kindly filled out for me, you've written August 1941, freed from being a prisoner.
Yes.
And joined the Polish army.
It was now a place called Totskoye.
So you were at Starobilsk for about 2 months?
Yes, about a couple months.
And was it organized?
No, it wasn't organized. You see, I never before in my life I was so angry. You see, first when we came over there to that Starobielsk, before we came, you see, there was no toilets or in those. And one of our prisoners just into the pot and outside. And there was that guard got everything in that. They were annoyed. I said, look, we don't give you water for a couple of days. Now,
it was punishment.
Punishment. Now, all that courage didn't get any water. And I thought that would be the end, because if you haven't got food, you still could survive a couple or 3 days. But without water, it's very difficult. And on the end, when they brought us to Starobielsk, there was tap. And there was water now, what you call the you got on the top of the match.
The head?
Yes, head of the match. Now, what is chemical?
Sulfur?
Sulfur. And you see, that was water with the sulfur. And you see, I got about 3 pints, got hold of that, and I drank. Can you imagine what you feel? It's awful. Now, there was no food. There were some apples about that size. So we eat an old lot, you know, in one day.
Tiny apples.
That's tiny apples, you see, because they were just only. And I was so weak to that extent that before I tried to get up, I tried about half a dozen before I actually got up. I thought it would be end. But anyway, it happened, miracle, and we were joining the Polish army. So you see, when the agreement was signed, you see, immediately they given us bread. That was something. And you see, later on they brought us to that Totskoye. That was the summer artillery. It was the pre-revolution yet.
What is the name of the place?
Totskoye.
Totskoye. Where is this, in the Ukraine?
No, that is Totskoye. No, it's in on the other side of Volga. It's not far from you know where is Kuibyshev.
Yes.
But it's not far from Kuibyshev.
In the steppes.
In the steppes, yes. And we spent winter in tents. Temperature 60 centigrades below freezing point in tent. You see, there was conditions where it's difficult to describe. You see, in that temperature, you can't even go and wash your hands in the snow because it's freezing. You have no provision to heat or anything. But one good thing, there was a road through that camp out of bricks. And one night, all those bricks or that road disappeared. Because everybody was taking to the tent, we dug some shelter in the ground, and then you put few bricks, and you could heat somehow that tent.
Heat it?
No, you have, because otherwise you couldn't survive. So you see, you out of the bricks, you made provisional, just like fireplace. So there was one soldier always on duty, burning the wood. But where to get that wood from? You see, there was no any transport for us or anything. So the nearest place, they said, is about 15 kilometers. I have forgotten what's the name. You have to walk down there and bring your firewood. But on the end conditions, they were so bad that I think our commander, General Anders, with some negotiation with the Soviet command, Soviet troops, decided to bring us to the south.
So who was in charge in this camp at Totskoye?
No, you see, Totskoye. I was in the 6th Infantry Division. There was General Tokarzewski, my commander of the division, but commander of the Polish troops in Soviet Russia was General Anders. Now, he negotiated with the Soviet all movements. You see, evidently, in that condition, as we were, they wanted us on the front. No equipment, no training. So to get to the front is only to be massacred. So what they didn't finish in cutting, they would do on the front. But anyway, our government, rather on behalf of the government, the General Anders, he negotiated with them, and they moved us south to Uzbekistan. Now,
Which season is this?
That was early spring 1942.
About March?
I think it was even before that. You see, it's rather difficult to say, because when we moved from Totskoye, it was over 60 centigrades of frost. By the time we came south, there was already spring, but it is in the south. And believe me, during that period, we had only one meal in Tashkent. So I think it was a journey was around about 12 days.
In trains?
In trains, yes. And giving us one meal in Tashkent. So you see, when we came in the warmer climate, still in tents, but it was much warmer. That is, with the spring, it was worse than frost, because all infections. You had malaria, I don't know if you had such illness, papadatch.
No?
Papadatch.
What
that is
it?
Tropical disease. Malaria, that papadatch, typhoid, and all lot. And my unit at that time, I was in the 6th battalion. 6th battalion. Believe me, there wasn't 30 men healthy to dig the graves. Yes. In the morning, at the medical officer reception, there was about 700 men. He had just a few aspirins, that's all we can offer. And that was the medicine to cure all possible disease, because that's what he had.
What did you get yourself?
Diseases. I had the typhoid. You see, as a matter of fact, I was taken with the typhoid to hospital, and that's something just in front. Typhoid on this side, the typhus on the other side of the room. That's the only division. And you see what happened. Around about 4 o'clock in the morning, Chappie stopped dying. And then I was making all that noise. And they just watched me in front of me. And, you know, it frightened me tremendously. So one doctor came and just asked me how I feel. I said, oh, it's much better. Can I go to my unit? Oh, he said, by all means, there will be room for somebody else. So I just went on the steps, and I was just sitting down there. I was so weak, I couldn't move. And somebody was passing, you know, from my unit. So they helped me, and it was about a mile where we were staying, actually. So they helped me. I got down there. So now, we were getting our food. Was some soup. If you got the just like wholemeal flour put on the water. So that was the soup. And you're getting a piece of that heavy Russian bread. You probably have seen when you've been in Russia, that heavy.
Probably.
Yes. And now, doctor advised me not to eat that soup, not to eat that bread, only crust. And that's all. So, you see, I was down there in Uzbekistan. It's a beautiful country down there. So those gardens, and you got quite a lot of trees. So I was just went into those bushes and sitting all the time. Because typhoid, you sit here all the time. And in about 5-6 days, I think, I realized that it's no use. So I came to my tent, pulled all that bread, which I didn't eat, because you were not allowed, and couldn't drink, just only drink that tea what they were giving, that's all. So on the end, I eaten all bread. I don't know, it must be for about practically a week ration. You know, I eaten all lot, which I shouldn't do. And then I went, there was a stream, and I got water, because I was not allowed to drink. I just drank all that water and said, now, that's the end. Came to my tent. I never prayed so hard in my life as then. You know, because I did everything I shouldn't. And I fell asleep. Because I was tired. So many nights I didn't sleep. And then first thing in the morning, I just woke up. Whether I'm alive on this side or on the other side. I feel I'm all right. You see, just touch my pants, I'm all right. And to this day, I don't know what cure I got, actually. I believe it must be something, some chemicals in that stream water. That's my belief.
So you'd recovered from the typhoid?
I recovered from typhoid completely. And really, I did everything what I should. And later on, we were preparing, Polish army all together. But my unit especially, because we were the... first guard in the division. We had to guard in case. What actually happened? Russian wanted, as I told you, Russian wanted us to the front. where we were not prepared. And then there was possibility that they may try to arrest us or intern or whatever you call. And as we were just only about 30 miles from the Afghanistan, our command was preparing us in case we have to go over the mountain to Afghanistan.
Illegally?
Oh, yes, just by force. You see, they had very few troops down there. So there was a chance we could just go. You see, instead, because if they put us behind the barbed wire, that would be the end. So if in case they try to intern us or something like that, we had to go to Afghanistan. But never came to that. You see, they started the evacuation because they agreed to let us go, just like Egyptian to go Jews, they allow us to go, and we were evacuated through Krasnovodsk, that's the port on the Caspian Sea, to Pahlevi in the Persia or Iran.
What was your voyage across the Caspian
now,
Sea?
Now, that was another miracle. You see, first, what happened? They brought us by train. Before we left, there was a station down there called Kitab. Now, place I was in, and the HQ of our division was Shahrizabs. But station was Kitab. Now, that, as I told you, they didn't give us any transport to move, but there was some equipment, you know, the British uniforms and all that. So naturally, our command tried to get it back from Soviet Russia. So there was just a horse cart, and those soldiers in those conditions, that was around about 10 miles, they were pulling that cart with that load and bringing back, pulling again. So you can imagine that for about 1 month or maybe more, they were just pulling that cart. By hand, just because there was no horses or anybody. Anyway, the day when we had to leave, we were told that everybody has to be by 9 o'clock ready to get to the train. You know, they brought the wagons, the train, 5 minutes to 9, and at 9 o'clock, gone. All the stuff what we brought, it was left for them. You know, there was no time to just loading or anything. Everything was left. So anyway, we were brought to Krasnovodsk. Krasnovodsk, it was near a refinery. There was oil refinery down there. And we were not far on the sand. That's again, no water or anything. Now, port was about 5 miles. So after 3 days waiting down there, late afternoon, we start marching to port. And everybody is weak, so you see, you're just throwing everything you got just to get down there by yourselves. You know, we had in my unit, we had the equipment, you know, the leather jacket and good trousers for motorcycling, you know, and big boots, motorcycling. You know, you carry as long as you could. And if you could, you're throwing. And the Russians were grabbing a lot. So anyway, we eventually got to that port. It was the that boat was actually the cistern. There was probably oil carrying with that. So just on top deck. And it was small boat. So then in about 2 hours when we started just getting onto that boat. The commander of the port shouted, "Move on, there is another 1,500 men is coming." And believe me, we were just sitting like that all the journey. Some, they were just hanging only to get out of Soviet Russia. But anyway, when we came to Pahlevi, it was very small dock down there. And even that system that Kaganovich couldn't get in. So we had to change into small fishing boat.
Kaganovich?
Kaganovich. That was the name of the boat, yes. So they reloaded us on the small fishing boat. And believe me, when I got onto that, I thought it's the end. Couldn't go any further.
What did you mean you thought it was the
end? I couldn't breathe. And you see, when we came to, just when we disembark, and I saw one of my friends who was a prisoner of war together with me, he was evacuated in March. So he said, "Have you got any cigarette?" "Yes, give me cigarette, give me bread." I was so terribly hungry. Anyway, we were staying down there for a couple of days. And as we were not under British command yet, you see, we were given just £1 each. So for £1, oh yes, for £1 at that time you could buy 30 boiled, hard-boiled eggs. You see, that's where problems start. I bought 12 dozen hard-boiled eggs, being so hungry, you know, and I eaten them. And when I eaten, I realized what I did.
12 dozen?
No, 12 eggs.
Oh, 12 eggs.
You know, being hungry, eating 12 hard-boiled eggs. straight I went into the sea. You know, really, I could smell still the yod down there. You know, is that water is smells. You know, and I could still smell it. So I think that water actually helped me to digest those 12 eggs.
When you got to Persia from Soviet Russia, how different did Persia seem to what you had experienced?
Look, I'll tell you something. You can imagine, you could see bread in the shop. You could see people smiling. You know, it's a different world. It's quite different. Well, it's rather difficult to describe. But, you know, first thing for hungry men, if you see bread, I don't know whether you realize that or not, but you see the bread, and you were hungry for 3 years.
You were telling me one or two stories earlier before we started to record, off the record, some stories about being in Soviet Russia. Could you repeat what you were saying off the record before we started?